This is Ellie Fisher podcasting, chapter 2, Perek Beis of the book of Nehemiah. So we left off. Nehemiah had just prayed to Hashem for success in dealing with the king, Ha'ish Hazeh, and at that time he was the butler of the king, the cupbearer. Hiba Chodesh Nisan, and it was in the month of Nisan, so that's the first chapter took place in Kislev, so the second, you know, several months, 4 months later, it's the month of Nisan, Shnas Esrim, L'Artachshasta HaMelech, it was the 20th year of Artachshasta, Artaxerxes, HaMelech, Yayin Lefanov, and wine was in front of him, V'asat HaYayin, and I bore him the wine, V'atna LaMelech, I gave it to the king, V'lo HaYitira Lefanov. I had not been sad in his presence. I had never been sad in his presence before. Ve'omer li ha-melech, and Melch, the king says to me, Madua panecha ra'im? Why the long face? Ve'ata incha chole, and you're not sick. Hein ze ki'im ro'a leiv. This must mean that you have evil at heart, meaning you're conspiring, you're planning something. But Yira Harbe Ma'od. And I got very afraid. Va'omar la'melech. And I said to the king, Ha'melech ha'olam yecha. No, long live the king. Madura lo yirufanai. Why should my face not be sad? Why should my face not be long? Asher he'ir beit kivrot avotai chariva. When the city where my parents are buried is destroyed, Ushareha Uchlubaesh, where its gates are consumed by fire. So here's an interesting thing. So the king suspects Nehemiah of some kind of treachery. Nehemiah responds by saying, well, it's because of my, the city of my forefathers are all ruined. Was he planning on saying that? Like, was this whole thing a ploy by Nehemiah? He comes in with a long face that the king will ask and he'll be able to answer the way that he wants? Was it a spur of the moment thing that, you know, he doesn't want the king to suspect him of treachery, so he conveniently falls back on this whole thing? We know that Nehemiah was affected by this, but it had been 4 months. How come he didn't bring it up to the king before? It's really not clear. It's possible that this is the literal burial place of his parents. There's no real mention of it. I mean, it's mentioned here, but it's never mentioned again.
His brother did live in Eretz Israel.
And if we follow Chazal and identify Nehemiah with Zerubbabel, or if we assume that Nehemiah was a descendant of David, was from Malchut Beit David, was from the Davidic dynasty, then there actually will be a mention later on of the burial place of David, and you know, it could be that that was what Nehemiah was referring to. But we never explicitly hear again of the graves. And the other very important thing to note here is that he never mentions the name of the city of Yerushalayim to the king. We know that he's talking about Yerushalayim. At the beginning of the parak, I mentioned that, at the beginning of the last parak, I mentioned that Hanani came and he asked about what's going on in Yerushalayim. But he never mentions the name of Yerushalayim to the king. So in a second, we'll discuss why not. The king said to me, Almazeh Atamavakesh, what is it that you are asking? And here we hear resonance of the dialogue between Ahasuerus and Esther, and the reason for that is because there was a certain way of speaking in the Persian court, like there was a certain etiquette and dialogue rhetoric that was used. So we wouldn't be surprised to hear similar formulations coming from Artachshasta and Ahasuerus, right? Ad Chatzi Amalchut, right? So the king said, what can I do for you? And Nehemiah says, Vatpalel el Elohe Hashemayim. and I davened to Hashem, right? Meaning he davened for success in what he was about to say. This may be a flashback to what happened before, to the prayer from the first parak, or it could be a fresh prayer. It's hard to know. But Omar l'melech, they said to the king, Im al hamelech tov, right? Again, like in Esther, Vim yitav avdecha lefanecha, send me to Judea, el ir kivrot avotai. Right, if the king, if it pleases the king, and if I am good, if I have found favor in before the king, my request is that you send me to Yehuda, to the city of the burial of my parents, of my parents' tombs, Ve'evnena, and I will rebuild it. Vayomer li hamelech. And the king says to me, king said to me, the Hashigal Yoshevet Etzlo, and the queen was sitting next to him. It's a strange word, what a Shegal. Chazal have their opinions on what exactly this was talking about, and it's not too flattering on Artachshasta. The question is, why does it need to say, oh yeah, and the king was sitting next to him? Is it trying to show us how close Nehemiah really was to the king? And Shegal, you know, it means like some kind of chief concubine, you know, somebody from the harem. The root of the word is one of the words that we don't pronounce when we read the Tochacha, because it is some kind of very explicit word about intimacy. So it's really, it's not clear exactly what's going on here. What the, why this is an important fact. A theory that I'm not so crazy about it, but I think it's intriguing, is that it's not talking about the queen, but the queen mother, meaning Artachshasta's mother, who was still alive, and that very well may have been Esther, right? If Artachshasta is the son of Ahasuerus, then the queen mother would have been Esther. In which case, it makes perfect sense why, you know, Nehemiah is asking in her presence, and why the king would be more inclined to grant that request. I'm not convinced that that's actually what it means, but certainly, it's interesting food for thought. So yeah, sad matai yemalachacha. How long are you going to be gone? How long is the distance? Matai teshuv. When are you going to come back? Vayitav lefnei hamelech. And it was all pleasing in the king's eyes. Vayashalcheni. And he sent me vadnalosman. And I told him how long it would be. I want to go back for a second to this idea that he never mentions the name of the city to the king. Nehemiah, much more than Ezra, Nehemiah was a political player. Nehemiah knew how to work the system. He knew how to ask for something in a way that he would get it. He knew how to present things in a way that they would succeed. He didn't mention the city of Yerushalayim because he didn't want the king to have any kind of thought that this is really treachery, that this is something that's he's going to build a city that's going to end up being a potential base of power for independence. No, this is, you know, he plays the sentiment card. No, I'm just going to the city where my parents are buried, where my ancestors are buried, and I'm going to build it up because it's a ruin. And the king's like, okay, fine. Bo'mar la'melech, and then I said to the king, Ima la'melech tov. If it pleases the king, Igrot yitnuli, give me letters, al pachvot ever anar, for the governors of the of Trans Euphrates, Shayaviruni at Asher Yavoel Yehuda, who will let me pass through until I get to Yehuda. So these papers, these letters that he requests, are quite literally a passport, right? It's a set of documents that allows one to cross borders. Pasuk Chet V'igeret el Asaf Shomer Pardes, as well as a letter for Asaf, the guardian of the orchards, Shel HaMelech, that the king owns, She Yitain Li Eitzim, who give me wood, Likarot Et Sharei HaBira, to roof the gates of the Habira Asher Labayit, the castle, the fortress that's next to the house. L'chomata ir, and for the walls of the city, v'labayit, asher avoilav, to the house that I'm going to enter into. Right? Again, no mention, explicit mention of the Beit HaMikdash, of the name of the city, any of that. V'itin li ha-melech, kiyad alokai atova alai. And the king granted this to me, and according to the to Hashem's good hand upon me. Right? So he gives Nehemiah two things here. He gives him timber, wood, and he gives him a passport. This is the execution. I went to the governors of Trans Euphrates, and I gave them the letters of the king. Here's an important point. Remember, Ezra refused any kind of military escort. Nehemiah accepts. Nehemiah says, the king sent with me captains of the army as well as cavalry. So it's Nehemiah is a more of a political player, and he displays force. He understands the value of displaying force. Here, there is no rishion, right? The king, there's no spelled out edict of exactly what the king granted to Nehemiah. We will be able to discern throughout the book that Nehemiah did get certain privileges. It's just, you know, since it's autobiographical, Nehemiah doesn't include external documents. Pasuk tet. So this, if this display of force was intended to show the neighbors who's boss, it apparently worked. Vayishma Sanballat haChorani v'Tovia haHeved haMoni, and Sanballat from Choron, right, it's the name of a city a little bit west of Yerushalayim. And Tovia, the Ammoni servant. Right, now, some of Farshim say that the idea of that Eved is actually a derogatory name, but that's not necessarily the case. Both of these characters, Sanballat and Tovia, have are mentioned in non-biblical documents or archaeological sources. Sanballat in the is mentioned in the Elephantine papyri, that there was a group of documents that were found in an Egyptian island, an island in the Nile River called Elephantine, where there was a Jewish military garrison, and there were a whole bunch of documents that were discovered there, and, you know, one of them mentions Sanballat. Hanani, the brother of Nehemiah, is also mentioned in those. And in terms of Tuvia, there was he was a member of a powerful family that lived in Aver HaYarden, right, in Transjordan, and the family burial plot of the family of Tuvia, the Tobiads, has been discovered in Jordan, and it refers to the family as Avdei HaMelech. They were servants of the king. So when it says Ha'eved HaAmoni, doesn't mean that he was a servant. He was a servant of the king, which is not it is not in any way derogatory. So these are the guys that are, they get nervous about Nehemiah's show of force, and they respond to Nehemiah in a way that they never responded to Ezra. Ayralahem ra gedola, and it was very bad for them. They grieved them. Asher ba'adam levakesh tovel of the Israel, though. Somebody was coming on behalf of the Israelites. Ba'avol Yerushalayim. Nehemiah speaking again, Pasuk Yud Aleph. I came to Yerushalayim, Behisham Yamim Shloshai. I was there for 3 days. Now, remember that when Ezra came, what does Ezra do as soon as he comes to arrives in Yerushalayim? He starts bringing korbanot, and he kind of sets up shop in the Beit HaMikdash, and, you know, all kinds of symbolic acts, like bringing 12 korbanot for Shivtei Yisrael, etc. What does Nehemiah do? Ba'akum laila, I got up in the middle of the night. Aniva anashim ma'atimi, and me, and only a few people with me. Lo yigarati la'adam ma'alo haynotena libi la'asot li'Yerushalayim. And I didn't tell anybody what idea God planted in my head to do for Yerushalayim. Uvehema enimi, I had no animals with me. Kima behema asher anochi rochev ba, except for the one I was riding on. What does he do? see in the next few psukim. It's Abishar Haggai. I left through the Sha'ar Haggai. The Sha'ar Haggai was a gate that overlooked Gay Ben Hinnom in the southeast corner of, the southwest corner of the walls of Yerushalayim. So Nehemiah is going to actually take a little tour from this along the southern and eastern walls. So he's going to start in the southwest. He's going to go across from the southwest to the southeast, and then he's going to turn north and go from the southeast to the northeast. Al Pnei Einatanin, toward Einatanin, there's another area on the walls. Shar Ha'ashbot, to Shar Ha'ashbot, Vehi Sover B'chomot Yerushalayim. And I was scrutinizing the walls of Yerushalayim, Asher Haim Prutzim, that they were breached. Now, the word Haim here is, there's a little oddity there, that the Mem of Haim is, even though it's at the end of a word, appears as a mem that would appear in the middle of the word, meaning it's open, it's not a closed mem. I think that the idea here is that it's actually graphically demonstrating what the pasuk is saying. What's the pasuk saying? That the walls were breached. Right, well, a closed mem, an end of mem sofit, is closed, and a mem from the middle of the word is open. Right, this is asher heim putim. That which was supposed to be closed is actually left open, which is exactly what happened with the wall. The wall was breached, like the mem is breached. Ushareh uchklu va'esh, and its gates were consumed in fire. Ve'avor el shar ha'ayin ve'el brechat ha'melech. I went from the fountain gate toward the king's pool, right? That's Chizkiyahu HaMelech's pool, also in the southwest corner of Yerushalayim. Ve'in makom l'vehema la'avor tachtai. There was no place for the animal to pass through. V'hi ole b'nachal laila. And I went through the valley, through the wadi at night. This is talking about the Nachal Kidron. Vehi sover b'choma, and I scrutinized the wall of Ashuv, and I returned v'avo b'shar ha'gai, and I came back to the shar ha'gai. So he didn't go all the way around. He went around about halfway, and then he came back v'ashuv, and I went back into Yerushalayim. The hasganim and the deputies lo yadu ana halachti. They had no idea where I went. Uma ani oseh, what I was doing. La'yudim, la'kohanim, la'chorim, la'skanim, yeter osei hamlacha, ad kein lo higadati. Because the Jews and the Kohanim and the freedmen and the deputies and everybody else who was doing the work, I hadn't yet told what I was doing. He was doing all this secretly. Okay, so what is Nehemiah doing? Nehemiah arrives in Yerushalayim and immediately he starts thinking strategy. he keeps it secret because the bad guys, right, Sanballat and Tovia, were actually connected politically and socially to the people of Yerushalayim. Right? He was Sanballat, I believe. Well, maybe it was Sanballat, I believe, was related to the Kohen Gadol himself through marriage. So Nehemiah really didn't know who he could trust, if anyone. So he keeps it on the QT. So now Nehemiah, after he does his little nighttime survey, V'omar alehem, I said to everybody, Atem ro'im haro'o asher anachluva. You see what bad situation we're in. Asher Yerushalayim chareva, Jerusalem is destroyed, u'sha'areh nitzdu va'esh, and its gates have been burnt in fire. L'chu v'nevne et chomat Yerushalayim. Let us rebuild the wall of Yerushalayim. V'lo nieh od cherpa, and we will no longer be a disgrace. And I told him how God's hand was good upon me. And also what the king told me, which is kind of funny because here he's saying, yeah, the king said we could rebuild Yerushalayim, even though that's not exactly what the king says. Like I said, Nehemiah is very adept at playing the political game, telling people what they need to hear when they need to hear it. It's not that he directly contravened what the king told him to do, but what the king told him to do wasn't exactly what he's about to do. Vayomru, and they said, and the people responded to Nehemiah by saying, Nakumu vaninu, let's go build it. Vayechazku yedeim l'tova. right? And they strengthened their hands for the good work, meaning they were pumped. They were ready. And now back to the bad guys. Vayishma Sanballat Achorani V'Tovia Eved HaAmoni, the same two characters that we met before, but now there's a third, V'Geshem HaArvi. Geshem, the is that Aravi? It's Arvi. It's the probably some kind of related to Arab, right? It's not that his name was Harvey. Vayila Gulanu, they made fun of us. Vayivzu Aleinu, and they despised us, right? That basically means they started talking trash. Vayomru, Ma Davar Zeshem Temosim, what are you people doing? Hala Melech Atem Aradim, are you rebelling against the king? Right, because it sounds like an act of rebellion when you build a fortress, when you build a wall city that's defensible, right? On one of the outlying parts of the empire, that sure seems like an act of rebellion. Vashivotam, and I responded to them. In kind. I said to them, Vomar Lahem. Said to them, Elokei Hashemayim Yehu Yatzliach Lanu, God of heavens will bring us success. V'anachnu Avadav, we are his servants. Nakumu Vaninu, we, his servants, are going to get up and we're going to build it. V'lachem Ein Chelek Utzdak of Zikaron Yerushalayim, but you have no portion and no right and no mention in Yerushalayim. Right. So this little dialogue concludes Perek Bet, and Perek Gimel. We'll get to the actual building of the wall.